If you're a business owner, perhaps you can consider a larger donation for a write-off because we know the government isn't working on saving babies. A donation of $1,000, $2,000, $20,000, all gifts are tax deductible and will reach eternity. Please get involved today. Verse 6, the Psalm of David, he tells us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I want to devote this program to talking about Israel. We're in day 26 of the war between Israel and Hamas. And you know that it was October 7th, one of the blackest days in Israel's recent history, where Hamas, the terrorist organization that governs the Gaza Strip and the Palestinians there in Gaza, they had a brutal attack, sneak attack on Israel, killed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of innocent civilians, brutally killed them. It was just horrific. It's more than our minds can comprehend. And on October 7th, Benjamin Netanyahu declared war on Hamas. And so the world was focused in on that part of the world and in the Middle East, and it's all eyes on Israel. And there was much sympathy for Israel as Hamas did this terrible, horrible thing. But as has been predicted by many people, as the war goes on and as Israel goes into Gaza to exterminate Hamas, which is a demonic, satanic, evil entity, there's going to be more and more people jumping off the bandwagon and saying, well, I'm not for Israel now. We were for them when they were being attacked, but now they are being aggressive in response and we're not for Israel. And you have more and more uprisings, especially on college campuses, where anti-Semitism is on the rise and people seem to be okay with it. It's definitely not okay. I like what George Barna said. I believe it was George Barna who coined the term among younger people, moral therapeutic deism. We see this among college students and among younger people. I say younger people, people under the age of 40. They're into a cause, and all the church growth people will say, you know, if you're the way you reach younger people, pastors, is you have to get them involved in a cause because they're very cause oriented. Well, the idea, this worldview, moral therapeutic deism. What does that mean? That's cause-oriented, and the younger people jump on this cause. They may not know what it's about, but it just seems right. And they hear these expressions from the river to the sea, and they use those expressions, you know, the Palestine shall be free. Well, what does that mean, from the river to the sea? It means from the River Jordan to this Mediterranean Sea, we're going to wipe Israel off the map. That's what it means. It's a saying that came from Hamas, and Hamas is committed to the extermination and the annihilation of the Jews. Why can there not be peace between Israel and Hamas? Well, Hamas doesn't want peace. This was recently, I retweeted this just the other day, from a Hamas official, Ghazi Hamad, G-H-A-Z-I, Ghazi Hamad. He said this: we will repeat the October 7 attack time and time again until Israel is annihilated. We are victims. Everything we do is justified. These people are so upside down. They don't know the difference between black and white. The scripture is clear. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's exactly what Hamas does. Hamas is a religious organization. They say in their charter, they are aligned, have allegiance to Allah. We strive to raise the banner of Allah over every inch of Palestine. That's what they call the land of Israel, the land that God, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the land that God gave to Abraham and his descendants forever. The land that Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, Genesis chapter 12, and he went to this land that God was giving him, the land of Canaan. That's what it was called. It wasn't called the land of Palestine until, 150 A.D., something like that. Late. Abraham is 2,000 A.D. 2,000 B.C. I mean, he's way back there. And that's when the Lord gave the land to Israel. They came and conquered the land with Joshua in the 1400s BC, and they set up their kingdom. First you had judges, and then you had kings that began. And Israel has been in the land for thousands of years, and it's their land because God, who is creator and owner of all, he gave them the land. And so it is their land. But this this regime called Hamas, and Hamas is an acrostic for Islamic Resistance Movement, and it's an extremist fundamentalist movement. But they practice what Muhammad practiced. They practice fundamentalist Islam because that's what their founder Muhammad practiced. And remember, Islam didn't come into being until about 610, 612 A.D. This is a religion that is very, very late to the party. So this idea that the land belongs to Allah and it's Hamas and, Islam is going to take this over, and we are the instruments of Allah, you know, as Hamas believes. This is some of their other goals that they state. Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. Palestine is an Islamic land. Since this is the case, the liberation of Palestine is an individual duty for every Muslim, wherever he may be. There is a call to jihad from Hamas. Jihad becomes the individual duty of every Muslim. In the face of the Jews' usurpation, it is compulsory that the banner of jihad be raised. That's what they're saying. I mean, they're just stating this. It's just out in the open. There is no... there's no kind of nuance. There's no kind of trickery. This is what we exist to do, and we're going to destroy Israel, and we will not rest till we destroy Israel from the river to the sea. And you see people that buy into this. It is insanity in my mind, but you have educated people that buy into this. Let me give you an example. Mark Lamont Hill, you might have seen him. He was on CNN for a while until they had to fire him in 2018, I believe it was, because of his anti-Semitic remarks, because he used that phrase, from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. Well, he's a professor of urban education at the City University of New York, and he's an activist. And he is obviously on the side of the Palestinians, of Hamas. And he appeared at a rally not too long ago. And this is what he had to say.
Tonight, to tell the truth is that history didn't start on October 7th. As much as the news media wants you to think that history started on October 7th, the Palestinian people have been catching hell for over 100 years. Before October 7th, Palestinian babies are killed regularly by the Israeli government. Before October 7th, Gaza was an open-air prison. Before October 7th, the people of Gaza didn't have 1 minute of self-determination despite the Zionist lie that they left and Palestinians ruined their own lives. It's a right-wing lie that we got to dissect with the truth, which is that for 100 years, there's been a settler colonial project. For 75 years, there's been ethnic cleansing. We got to tell the truth about that.
Well, that was Mark Lamont Hill stirring people up. Spreading lies that he says are the truth, and he says that what we're hearing are right-wing lies. He's somebody that has bought into critical race theory. When we had Neil Shinvey on the program just a couple of days ago and Dr. Sawyer, they were saying, hey, when you buy into critical race theory, it covers the spectrum of everything. And so anybody that you consider the oppressed, well, you get on his side. And anyone you consider the oppressor, you can put that in pretty much any context. You're going to look at the situations like, okay, you're the majority, and so you're the oppressor, and you're the minority, you're the oppressed, and we're on the side of the oppressed, and we need to fight the power, that kind of attitude. And so he's always going to be for that group, because he's always going to go, well, who's the oppressed here? That's the group we are for. That's why Neil Shinvey said, even in our country, you see people that says, you know, LGBTQI+ for Hamas. And those people are so short-sighted, because they're rooting on the group that if they had their opportunity, they would kill every LGBTQI+ person. They don't understand where Hamas comes from in terms of their religious fervor and their desire to serve Allah, who is a false god, and every false god is satanic. I mean, everything's either coming from the true God, Yahweh God, or it's coming from the enemy of our souls, who is the devil and Satan. Every false religion is demonic, and Islam is a false religion. It is demonic. You see the devil's fingerprints all over Islam, and that's why the killings from Hamas on October 7th were so grotesque and so beyond the pale. It's not enough that we kill you. We have to behead babies. We have to put a baby in the oven. We have to kill children before parents, kill parents before children, and decapitate people and do all kinds of barbaric things, because the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. What is the motto of Hamas? We love death as much as you love life. Why does Hamas not want their women and children and their non-combatants to leave the Gaza Strip? Why are they preventing them from leaving? Well, Joel Rosenberg is going to, in the next segment, I have a clip from Joel Rosenberg. He's going to tell us exactly why that is. And it is for a purpose. Now, remember this, that Hamas is... They are fueled and funded and controlled by Iran. And Joel's also going to let us know that. Now, Joel Rosenberg lives in Israel. He's got dual citizenship. He's written many books about terrorism and Bible prophecy. He's an expert on the relations between Israel and their Arab neighbors, and so we can learn a lot from him. And I don't have enough time to play that clip in this segment, but I will play it when we come back from the break. But you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and we are talking about Israel today, and we're talking about Hamas. It's day 26 of the war between Israel and Hamas, and Israel is moving in on the ground, and that's a bloody proposition, but it is a necessary proposition. It's a necessary move. You have to, Hamas is the head of the snake. You have to cut off the head, at least the head of the snake there in Gaza. The real head is in Iran, but they have to obliterate Hamas. because if they don't, Hamas will just retool and come after them again. They're not going to stop. And remember this about the devil. The devil is the original Terminator. And if you ever saw the first Terminator movie, Reese told Sarah Connor, "You don't understand this Terminator. He will not stop. He doesn't feel pity. He will just come and come and come and come until you're dead." And that's what Hamas has determined to do to Israel. We'll be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the war between Israel and Hamas, the war that was declared by Benjamin Netanyahu in response to the attack on Israel on October 7th, 2023. We're into day 26 of this war. Approximately 9,900 people on both sides have been killed, and we are praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We're praying for an end to this war, and we're praying for the end of the evil regime known as Hamas. Hamas was incorporated as this political movement in Gaza in 1988. They won an election there in Gaza in 2006, and that was the last time they had an election in Gaza. They've just taken over. I was read something that the vote when Hamas won was 82%, 82-18. And so the people in Gaza voted overwhelmingly. "We want to be ruled by Hamas," somebody said on Twitter. They said, you know, they're castigating Israel and then saying it, where is it ever right, morally right, if you have a shooter in a school to bomb the school and kill everybody at the school? My attitude toward that and response toward that was, well, if the school voted them in, hey, we want to have the shooter in our school. We want to be run by the shooter at our school. And they voted them in 82%. Then the school becomes a player in the war. And obviously, in any war, you have people that are innocent bystanders that are going to suffer because of that. That is one of those things that nobody likes, nobody wants. Israel is trying to avoid that at all costs, but it's basically impossible to not have casualties of war. It's impossible in a war that you don't have some friendly fire that ends up taking people's lives also. Well, I had mentioned in the first segment that there was a great conversation that Pastor Greg Laurie had with Joel Rosenberg, and Joel puts the situation in perspective for us, and Pastor Greg Laurie asked him the question, why is this happening at this moment in time? And this is what Joel Rosenberg has to say.
You have to look not at Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. They're horrible. They're basically like ISIS. But they don't control themselves. They're funded by somebody, the terrorist regime in Iran. They're armed by somebody. That's the terrorist regime in Iran. They are directed by somebody, and that's the leaders of Iran. So it's not a Hamas operation. It is tactically, but this is coming from the leaders, the supreme leader of Iran. And what does the supreme leader of Iran want? He wants several things. Ultimately, he wants to commit genocide. He's been very open. He wants to wipe Israel off the map and kill every Jew that lives here. So that's the first, his first objective. But he has sub objectives to get there, to his genocidal, apocalyptic end of the world, usher in the coming of their Messiah, known as the Mahdi, if you annihilate every Jew and every Christian. To get there, what are they trying to do? Well, they're trying to lure Israel into a ground war in the Gaza Strip, which we're going to have to do now. But they want to lure us in. Why? We're the biggest, most powerful military in the entire Middle East. We're the superpower here. Why would a terrorist organization small be directed by a big country like Iran to go after the biggest military in the region, us, Israel? And the reason is not because the supreme leader right now doesn't just want to see dead Jews. He wants to see dead Palestinians. Why would he want to see dead Palestinians? Because every dead Palestinian will be a television image that will be on MSNBC, CNN, CBS Evening News, the front page of the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, to turn the script from Israel is, Israel's the high-tech innovator, and they're making peace with all these Arab countries, maybe Saudi Arabia next. No, the Iranians want to flip that script to make us look like the monsters of the region when they're the monsters, right? So that's the objective right now. Blow up the peace process and make the whole world think that we're monsters for doing what? Defending ourselves.
Yeah.
But you're right. You just described it. It's not just 1,200 civilians were murdered. They were set on fire while they were alive. They were burned in their homes. Mothers were shot while their children watched. Children were shot to death while their mothers watched. The babies were decapitated. This isn't just wrong. It's demonic. And that's what we're up against. And they infiltrated our homes and they caught us by surprise.
That was Joel Rosenberg discussing the war between Israel and Hamas with Greg Laurie. Great insights that he has. I had mentioned in the first segment about people jumping on board this anti-Semitism that is just taking hold in our country, especially on college campuses. Why is that? As George Barna said, you have this thing called moral therapeutic deism. Moral. They feel like, oh, this is of the oppressed. This is a moral thing to do. Hamas is the victim. That's what their official Ghazi Hamad said. We are victims. Everything we do is justified. So they feel like this is a moral thing. Israel's bad. Just as Joel Rosenberg said, they want to paint Israel as the aggressor, Israel as the bad guy in this conflict. Obviously, they're not. Hamas started the war, and Israel is going to finish the war and end the war. But people jump on the bandwagon because they say, well, it's moral. And it's therapeutic. It makes them feel good. Oh, look what I'm doing. I'm throwing my voice behind this moral cause, and I feel good about myself. And then the word deism, it becomes their God. And younger people always looking for a cause, and they need to look at what is true and what is false, and they need to look to the Lord, the creator of it all. Now, this is what the Lord says. Now, we know that the Lord has chosen the Jews to be his people. They're his chosen people. The Lord made promises to Abraham. The Lord does not break his promises. It is impossible for God to lie. And God has made promises to Israel. And this idea that we are going to destroy Israel, this idea from Hamas and this satanic push that drives them to destroy Israel from the river Jordan to the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. This is what the Lord says. The burden of the Lord, this is from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel, thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. That's who God is. Behold, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around, and when the siege is against Jerusalem, I will also be against It will also be against Judah, not I, it. It will also be against Judah. Jerusalem is the capital of Judah. And it will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. In that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with bewilderment and his rider with madness, but I will watch over the house of Judah while I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. Then the clans of Judah will say in their hearts, a strong support for us are the inhabitants of Jerusalem through the Lord of hosts, their God. Why can Islam never conquer Israel? You know, they said, we're going to conquer the land from the river to the sea. Why will that never happen? Because Islam is a false religion. Islam is fueled by Satan. Satan is never going to defeat God. God has said, this is what I'm going to do. And if the whole world goes against Israel, as the prophet Ezekiel predicts in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, Israel has no support. Nobody stands with Israel. Right now, America is standing with Israel, but that could change as the war prolongs. Just as Joel Rosenberg said, they start showing more and more pictures of dead Palestinians, and then the world says, well, we're not for this, and we're going to turn against Israel. And so you have this situation, and Ezekiel 38 and 39 predicts a time when the whole world turns against Israel. But that's okay, because the Lord will fight for Israel. And just as it was in the Old Testament when the nations came together, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that three armies joined together, joined forces to destroy Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. And Jehoshaphat's prayer, Lord, will you not judge them? For we are powerless against this great nation, neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And so they praised the Lord, and they prayed, and they trusted him, and they put their eyes on him, and the Lord fought for Israel. They didn't even have to fight. And the enemies began to attack one another, and they were self-slaughtered. You can't beat God. It is ridiculous to try and go up in a fight against God. As someone once said, your arms are too short to box against God, to fight against God. You know, people, and getting back to a personal illustration or a personal application of this, people all the time are raging. Their hearts are raging against the Lord. They don't want the Lord to tell them what to do. All this idea of choosing your own gender. It's, God, you're not going to tell me who I am. I'm going to tell you who I am. And they fight against God. So ridiculous to fight against God internally as an individual or as a nation to fight against God. You get the whole world to come together to fight against God. That's what happens at the Battle of Armageddon. The whole world comes together to destroy Israel, to fight against God's people, and the Lord comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, and what does he do? He slays them with the sharp sword that goes out of his mouth. That's the word of God. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the God of the universe who spoke them into existence will speak them into oblivion. It's not a back and forth fight. It's not like Rocky Balboa fighting Apollo Creed and back and forth and back and forth. It's not like that at all. It's the Lord comes down from heaven with his saints. We come with his holy ones. We come with him. The dead in Christ have been risen at the rapture. And so we come back with him riding on white horses, Revelation chapter 19. And the Lord just opens his mouth and speaks them into oblivion. And the carnage is so great, the Bible says that the blood reaches the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. You can't beat God. You're never going to beat God. Why would you want to beat God? The will of the Lord is good and acceptable and perfect. How wonderful when we can get in on the will of God, when we can just yield to the will of God. I like what Joel Rosenberg said. I listened to that whole interview that he did with Greg Laurie. He said, we don't want to see any of the people in Gaza die and go to hell. We don't even want to see anybody that is, leading Hamas die and go to hell. We want to see people come out from the bonds of Satan and the delusion from the devil and come to the light and find salvation in Jesus Christ. We want that for every single person. And hey, God wants that. He's not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And so what do we do with all this information? We are here in America. What do? We're far, far away from the land of Israel and from the conflict there. Well, we may not be that far away since we've been allowing people to come in on our southern border by the millions. We don't know anything about those people. We may have some terrorist attack on our soil. It wouldn't be surprising at all if that took place. But what can we do? Second Chronicles chapter 14, chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, if we will do those things, humble ourselves and pray. You know, when we really get serious about prayer, we go down on our face, we go down on our knees. It's a position of humility. And so those things go hand in hand. A prideful person is not praying. But when you understand I'm in trouble, you humble yourself before the Lord and you call upon his name. If my people, God's people, hold sway with the Lord, just like your kids hold sway with you, my girls hold sway with me. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, not my hand, not what I can do, but me, seek my face, that they just want me, and turn from their wicked ways. When we repent, when we get right with God for the sins in our own lives, or the sins that we allow foul and fester in our own hearts, the things that we allow to kind of exist in the shadows, whether it's jealousy or envy or bitterness or greed or lust or selfishness, whatever it is that we've given a place to. When we get that out of the shadows and under his blood, then God says, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God is waiting on us to do what he has told us to do. Is an if-then thing. If we will do this, then God will do what he can do. Listen, God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. And God is waiting on you and me, because we are his people. We've been bought with a price. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside every Christian, every believer. And when we will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, when we get right and call upon God, then God responds. He hears from heaven, he forgives our sin, and he brings healing to the land. That's what God wants to do. That's what he can do as we get right with him. Well, we're up against a break, but when we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we talk about the war between Israel and Hamas. If you have a question, if you have a comment, pick up the phone, give me a call, and let's talk. God wants to do great things in your life, in my life, and in our world as we call upon his name, as we get right with him. And we look to him because he is the God of might and miracle. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hey, I want to tell you and talk to you about Operation Christmas Child. Surely you've heard about Operation Christmas Child. Well, it is the 30th anniversary of the ministry. It all started back in 1993. It's a ministry of Samaritan's Purse, and it's national collection time for the shoeboxes. And I know we kicked this off at First Baptist Texarkana just a few days ago, and it's now through November 20th, Operation Christmas Child, sending the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. Now, every shoebox gift is an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ and the love of God. Operation Christmas Child is a direct way for you to equip the local church around the world with a simple shoebox gift to reach their own communities and establish long-term relationships. And, you know, the wonderful thing about the shoeboxes, they can go into hard-to-reach places in more than 100 unreached people groups, and it opens the door for evangelism. So let me encourage you to pack your shoebox now. You can get any standard size shoebox and drop it off during the third week of November. And there are 4,500 drop-off locations. You can go to SamaritansPurse.org. /OCC, Operation Christmas Child, OCC, to learn more and to find a drop-off location near you. We have a Sunday school class of dear ladies at First Baptist Texarkana, and one of the women in there bought a building. Actually, I think it's two buildings now, and they just make shoeboxes all year long. And this year, they look to have 12,000 shoeboxes that are going to come from this one Sunday school class at First Baptist Texarkana. And it's exciting to see as people get on board, as families get on board and say, hey, we're going to do this as a family. And they encourage, as you pack your shoebox, start with a quality wow item, such as a stuffed animal, soccer ball with a pump, or a clothing outfit that will capture the child's attention the instant he or she opens the box. Then fill the shoebox with other fun toys, personal care items, and school supplies. For gift suggestions, volunteer opportunities, and drop-off locations, just visit the Samaritan's Purse website. So that is Operation Christmas Child between now and November 20th. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've been talking about the war between Israel and Hamas. What is the truth? And what does God want to do in this conflict? What is the conflict all about? And how are we to understand this biblically? Well, we have Shelly on the line from Texas. Shelly, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to comment how very much I appreciate a pastor speaking accurately about the history leading up to the war in Israel, and also about how infected our culture has become with critical race theory, which is demonic. I spoke in support of Israel in my church, and my pastor said he won't touch it because it's political, and people have been coming after me telling me what a horrible person I am because I don't support the Palestinians, and I keep taking the conversation back to the facts, but nobody knows the facts. It's all PR and propaganda that that as a culture, far too often, even as Christians, we've bought into. So I really appreciate, I took notes from your first segment today, and I so appreciate you bringing that to the table, to the marketplace of ideas.
Amen. Well, you're very sweet. Shelly, what city do you live in?
I live in Fredericksburg, Texas.
Okay, and if you don't mind me asking, what kind of church do you go to?
I go to a little tiny independent church in a little tiny town called Willow City. So I go to Willow City Church.
Mm-hmm. Well, hats off to you, Shelly, for standing up for the truth, even though you're not getting support in your church. It's disheartening to hear, you know, where pastors don't want to take a stand on things. Well, that's controversial. I don't want to take a stand on it. Well, as our world gets more and more corrupt, and it gets darker and darker morally and spiritually, you're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to stand up and be counted, and you're going to have to speak the truth in love. So God bless you, Shelly, for doing that, even if you're the only one in your church that does it. But we keep going back to the truth. Well, what is really going on here? What does the Bible say? Learn about Hamas. How in the world anyone could support Hamas, that is definitely a terrorist organization that as the scripture says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's exactly what they want to do. from the river to the sea. We want to steal this land from Israel. We want to destroy Israel. We want to kill every Jew and kill every Christian. That's Islam wants to do that. And once they kill every Jew and kill every Christian, if they could do that, that's never going to happen. But if they could, then what would they do? They would kill each other. Because the Lord says concerning Ishmael, the father of the Arabs, he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. You had two Muslim countries, Iran and Iraq. They were constantly fighting because the more fundamentalist Muslim is against the more, what he deems the more progressive liberal Muslim. And how do you express yourself in Islam? Islam is a religion of the sword. And so it's either you're going to believe the way I do or you're going to die. And that's what we see in Islam. And so, Shelley, God bless you. And thank you for encouraging my heart. And so let's together stand up for the truth. And, you know, if it costs us, it costs us. Suffer hardship, Paul told Timothy, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And we need to keep speaking the truth in love to a lost and dying world and pointing them to Jesus, who is the only hope for any of us, because he is the Savior of the world. So God bless you. We have Hoyt on the line from Georgia. Hoyt, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Aiden, this Pastor Jeff. Now, I can't believe all them people that's against Israel, especially all them college students.
It's just sickening. It's terrible.
Now, what another thing I called for, I know a lot of people talk about, is this leading to Ezekiel 38 or 39, but also I was wondering what it says in Psalms. Can you comment on Psalms 83?
Psalm 83? Let me look that up.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So Psalm 83 says, O God, do not remain quiet, do not be silent, and O God, do not be still, for behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. Yeah, I think that that fits in there, Hoyt. Maybe not directly with this is Psalm 83 is dealing with the conflict in Ezekiel 38 and 39, but I think just in general. And you see history just repeat itself. And so what happens in Ezekiel 38 and 39 will end up repeating itself in Revelation chapter 20 at the end of the millennial kingdom. And then what you have in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is similar to the Battle of Armageddon. Everyone is against Israel. They're going to wipe Israel off the map, and the Lord comes and delivers. And so I think those are just God giving us foreshadowings of what is going to take place. And Psalm 83 would be one of those. And the Lord will deliver his people. The Lord will come through on his word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, when we are faithless, even if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And God will fulfill his promises to his people. Now, some promises are conditional and some promises are not. And when there's an unconditional promise, then it's all on the Lord and the Lord will fulfill. Now, you and I struggle with faithfulness. God doesn't struggle with faithfulness. And when Jesus comes back, Revelation chapter 19, he is called faithful and true. And the Lord is faithful to all his promises. He's faithful to his word, and he's true, and we can count on him. So God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling in, and I appreciate you. Well, we have Marty on the line from Iowa. Marty, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Is it Iowa or Indiana? What's IA?
It's Iowa. Iowa.
Iowa. Okay,
it's,
good.
Sioux City, Iowa, to be more direct. And
Sioux
Pastor
City.
Jeff, I just wanted to tell you thank you so much for what you do and the importance of being in a biblically based church. We have our pastor, Pastor Gene Stockton, who lives through the Word of God, and he does a lot of expository preaching. We're in the book of John now, and we might be there for a couple of years because there's so much. And yes, it's so beautiful, too. And even with the Islamic people, I was born again in 1986, and my whole life changed. I've been to church since I was in diapers, and it's true. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And that's what our role is to proclaim the gospel in every opportunity. And Jeff, Pastor Jeff, I just love listening to you, and someday I hope to meet you, but I know I get to have eternal life with you forever. So you're doing an incredible job, and I just keep pushing people towards the gospel. Read Amen. The Bible. Just like our new House of Representatives, if you want to know who I am, open your Bible. It's such Amen. A beautiful comment. It but really you is. Must be born again, or it doesn't make sense.
Right. It's exactly right. Well, Marty, thank you so much for that. What an encouragement to my heart. And I love that you got a little choked up just talking about your own salvation. You know, I think that's a good thing. I think when we think about how the Lord saved us and how he was merciful to us, and just like John Newton, when he wrote the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, the great quote from him as he was on his deathbed, he said, my mind is almost gone, but I remember two things, that I'm a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior. So here's the thing that will help you and fuel you in your Christian life so you don't lose your zeal and lose your fire. Don't ever get over being saved. Always review your salvation and remember when the Lord came into your life, when the Lord moved you and transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son, as it says in Colossians chapter 1, and have that fresh in your mind. And so I always encourage people this way, to remember often the Lord's death on the cross and his resurrection, and live your life as if Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back tonight. And keep the death, burial, resurrection, and return of Christ so near and dear to your heart, and your salvation experience so near and dear to your heart, because that keeps you on fire for the Lord. So God bless you, my brother. We have probably our last caller, Janet from Texas. Janet, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, when I heard Shelley call in, I just want to say, Shelley, I prayed for you a while ago. Just know you're not alone. The Lord is right there with you. He is shielding you, protecting you. And I thank you for your love for Israel, for the Jewish people. I dearly love them. And I am praying for the peace of Jerusalem. I pray that blinded eyes, hearts, minds, and emotions be opened all over America and all over the world to truth. And I pray that pastors like you, you're a good godly man, a good Christian preacher, and you speak the truth and preach the truth. I pray that you'll be an example to many pastors.
Amen. Thank you, Janet. I appreciate that so much. That's what we're commanded to do, to speak the truth in love. And so to speak the truth, you have to know the truth. And Jesus said in John 17, sanctify them in his great prayer to the Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. And that's the message that we have to share with everyone. It's not popular. As we shared yesterday, Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. It's not a popular message. It's an important message. It's a critical message. And people need to hear the truth for, as Jesus said, Luke 13, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And the Lord doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'd love to connect with you. You can reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org if you have a question or a comment. Or you can connect with me on X, which used to be called Twitter, at Jeff Shreve, J-E-F-F. S-C-H-R-E-V-E. Hey, go out today. All we have is today. Tomorrow may never come. Yesterday is gone. All we have is today. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.